I'm grateful for the year that was. I'm grateful for the possibilities ahead. I'm grateful for the journey that will be. Now, one gratitude is for what just happened. The next gratitude is for what I anticipate is coming in the next 12 months. And the final gratitude is the one I hope to be declaring 1 year from now. But I have to ask, did anybody's 2024 go exactly as you thought it would? Or did you receive a few surprises somewhere along the way? Well, there you are. And welcome to our first Redemptions Table of 2025. 2025. That's amazing. We're only 500 years away from being able to sing the 1969 pop classic 2525. If man is still alive and woman can survive. If you know, you know. I can't imagine 500 years from now, any more than the people of the year 1525 could imagine today. 500 years ago, Notre Dame in Paris was only a 180-year-old church. Juan Ponce de Leon had wandered into Florida 4 years earlier, searching for the Fountain of Youth, only to find a native arrow instead, or I should say, a native arrow found him. The first slave ship of enslaved Africans would not sail into the area of Virginia for another 94 years, and the Pilgrims of Plymouth Rock would not arrive for another whole year after that. 500 years is not that long a time, and yet it is. A single year of life is not that long a time, and yet it is. Anybody out there besides myself experience what I call the kaleidoscope effect of life? That's where time seems like it's moving so fast, but at the same time, when you live fully alive, when you're more fully aware of the individual moments that happen during your day, your life seems fuller, and therefore time slows down for you. The world is moving at one speed, your soul is moving at another. And I call it the kaleidoscope effect. It's like a child's kaleidoscope. It's like a spiritual aurora borealis. The northern lights keep stretching through the night skies. The heavenly lights keep washing their glow like waves over the retaining wall of the glass darkly. I believe this is one of the many benefits that come to those who wait upon the Lord. The Greek philosopher Socrates said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." I would like to quickly add, "But the examined life is life abundant." Well, we either got real deep in a hurry, or we took a side trip to the Twilight Zone. And if you're still listening, which I hope you are, I'll let you make the call on that one. But let's bring it back to the present moment. We've just finished 1 year. We are 9 days into the next. During Advent and Christmastide, one particular carol framed my December. It came upon the midnight clear. I don't know why, but that carol just hung with me, visited me in the beginning days of Advent, and it just stuck around on into this year. I'm still contemplating it. And I believe songs find us on purpose. We don't so much discover them as they find us, like the arrow with Ponce de Leon's name on it, only with better consequences. Pastor Edmund H. Sears wrote, "It Came Upon the Midnight Clear." He wrote it as a poem in 1849. The poem has 5 stanzas, though most hymnals only include 4. "It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King, the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still, through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains, they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. But with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man, at war with man, hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And ye, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. The world's condition described by Sears is not unlike our own. 2024, election year. We are not at our best in loving our neighbors during an election year. And I say that to those sitting in church first, before I say it to us all. We have witnessed war and tragedy, the latest happening in one of my favorite cities, New Orleans. The truth is, the season of Christmas speaks to our greatest need. There are people walking in darkness who need the light of Bethlehem's baby. The most wondrous news the world has ever received. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, has been born to all of us. And that's part of why I feel impressed to keep encouraging all of us to slow it down. The world may be hastening on. There's no need for our soul's pace to follow the world, though. I've been quoting G.K. Chesterton a lot these past few episodes. Here's one more. The best way to shorten winter is to prolong Christmas. Hey, a lot of us right now are experiencing a polar vortex. Okay, you want to shorten winter? Prolong Christmas. And that's not the only vortex we're being drawn into. 2025 is beckoning. Our normal routines are upon us again. Our jobs are encouraging us to step it up. And I am encouraging every one of us to slow it down. There it is again. I spent 2 days last weekend in quiet before the Lord, examining the year that was while praying about the year to come. And I'm not through with that yet. Probably won't be through with that until the end of this month. I know it's only an imaginary line on the calendar, the crossing from one year into the next, but something about a fresh start appeals to us. I think the appeal is we all know we need one. The greatest fresh start is the offer Jesus makes to be born again, to become a new creation, to get back to who God created us to be in the first place. I have so much gratitude right now. To me, Christmastide with the 12 days of Christmas is like a second Thanksgiving. Or to put it another strange way, this season from the last week of November to the first week of January is like a Christmas sandwich. We thank God. We receive even more gifts as we celebrate His birth, and then we thank God again. Give thanks for the bread of gratitude that surrounds the meat of Christ's birth. I'm grateful for the year that was. I'm grateful for the 38 Redemption Table episodes that came out this year. I'm grateful for every guest who came to this table, and I am hoping for even more guests in 2025. I'm grateful for every musician who made their music available to us to share. And I'm grateful for you too, the listener. Did those 38 table episodes go as I thought they would this year? Not even close. I had hoped to have a dozen conversations about the Beatitudes. I had one, and she wasn't even on my radar when the year began, but thank you, Courtney Ellis, for the Birdtudes, when we talked about birds and beatitudes. It was such a wonderful, refreshing episode. I thought the table year was going to be about the Beatitudes, but looking back, I can see it was about being still, about slowing down. That was not by my plan, nor by my design. I am just as much surprised as perhaps you are. I'm grateful for the year that was. I'm grateful for the possibilities ahead. I'm grateful for the journey that will be. One gratitude is for what just happened. The next gratitude is for what I anticipate is coming in the next 12 months. The final gratitude is the one I hope to be declaring 1 year from now. As I look ahead to the next year, I think it might have something to do with the light we all need. With the light that Josh Garrels sang about in our opening song, May You Find a Light. I've started keeping a list recently of every time I have a conversation with someone about Jesus. Some of those conversations lead to me giving them a copy of a Jesus harmony. That's the weaving together of the four biblical gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, into one gospel. I shared 99 of those Jesus harmonies this year, which means I had 99 conversations with individuals that led to talking about Jesus for a moment. And I just want to tell you, folks, those are the most natural conversations you could have. There's nothing uptight about them at all, not for me, nor for those that I engage in conversation. And I think that has to do with the two questions God gave me about 4 or 5 years ago. I ask these two questions of a lot of people, and I've never met a person yet who refused to answer the questions. Question number one is, where are you hurting? Everybody's hurting. But not everybody is asking people where they are hurting. And so ask that question. And when you ask it, listen, because complete strangers will share their crushing load with you. And question number two, where is your hope? The answer to that question reveals where or who a person looks to when they are hurting. And if it's not Jesus, if it's not God the Father who sent Jesus, that's a perfect moment to plant a seed, to give them Jesus' story, to give them those four gospels, the Jesus harmony, to share the light. My prayer for each of us and for everyone we come across in 2025 is this. May you find a light. May you find the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to guide you home. Until next week.